The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 21st, day after Easter. I hope it was a blessed weekend for you. It's a good weekend for me. And I had mom over, hadn't had mom over for dinner in a few weeks. Actually, I think it could have been like the holidays. I think it was the last time. So it was really good to get her over and getting things in the upright and locked position. Still too many weeds in my yard. I don't know what I'm, but that's kind of like a first world problem I'll have to deal with sometime this week. But I don't know. I hope things are well with you. Join the conversation at 770-5633-770-KMED. My email is bill@billmyersshow.com. Ended up getting some interesting emails over the weekend we're going to have a little sharing with, too. We got some wonderful guests, including Dr. James Thorpe this morning. He wrote a book that I started browsing through over the weekend entitled Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. And he's a board-certified OBGYN. And he was pretty much ostracized back in the day during COVID time because he was saying that we shouldn't have been giving the jab to pregnant women. Or I guess as the left would call them, pregnant people. Maybe they're ovulating individuals. Ugh, I don't know. Get me started, you know, on that kind of stuff. But RFK Jr. ended up touching the autism third rail the other day. And it wasn't necessarily about vaccines, though, but I think it is kind of all related in one form or another. RFK Jr. says environmental exposure to toxins to blame for autism is what he seems to be talking about lately. Although some studies are still indicating jabs and vaccines in general are a real problem. But anyway, I'll talk with Dr. Thorpe about that and more after the 6:30 news. And we're also going to have Mike O'Neill from Landmark Legal, who is going to be going into the Supreme Court decision over the weekend, pausing the deportation flights for President Trump, not for President Trump, but at President Trump's behest. In other words, getting the dirtbags and gangbangers sent over to El Salvador, that sort of thing. And Nick Card will be in studio, too. He's a Medford City councilor, good guy, and I've enjoyed talking with him in the past. Been a while, but we wanted to dig a little bit more into this this Eugene Emeralds baseball proposed deal that the Eugene Emeralds came into town the other day and ended up presenting to the Medford City Council in one of their recent study sessions. So we'll talk about that, maybe a few other things too. And of course, where past meets present, Dr. Dennis Powers. Today we're going to be profiling the city of Phoenix. And the city of Phoenix is in the news for something kind of odd. Like I said, we'll tell you a little bit more. And this is kind of going back to the to honor and love being given really to the wrong people, as it were. I was talking about that a lot on Friday. And this was me reading a piece from Sean Ring at the Daily Reckoning, dailyreckoning.com. And I found out that that piece actually came out in February. It was a couple of months ago. But it was about the order of love and why nations must prioritize their own. And that there's an order of love, like a hierarchy of the love you should be giving. Yes, we can have universal love for our fellow man, but we don't have universal obligations to our strangers and fellow man and people who are not of our kin, not of our nation. And that really is where we find ourselves right now, that a lot of love and a lot of attention and a lot of concern is being given to the people who are much lower on that order of love. And in fact, the order of love is being completely inverted, especially by our Democratic folks. And I wanted to just give you a classic example of this that happened over the weekend. A lot of internet and social media drama going because Tim Walz's daughter ended up speaking out. I'm just taking this from Yahoo News. Ended up finding the clip, and the clip is quite interesting. But Hope Walz, Tim Walz's daughter, ignited a firestorm. She posted a TikTok in which she appears to compare Jesus Christ to Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Salvadoran man. Remember, no, he's the Maryland man, is how the left-wing press has reported him. Salvadoran man, a man from El Salvador. Remember, from El Salvador was never authorized to be in the United States and alleged to have ties to the violent MS-13 gang. Well, all you have to do is look at a few tattoos and you pretty much figure that. Wall's comment intended to reflect on humanity and empathy. But this is what Hope Walls had to say.
If Jesus were alive today and in the United States, this administration would have already taken him and removed him from this country without due process, claimed he was a member of the MS-13 gang as a way to try to justify not giving him due process, as if there is any justifiable reason to not giving somebody due process. But yeah, some people don't want to talk about that. It truly is baffling how clear and laid out everything is, and there is still people standing by it. I believe in the good of people and, like, humanity, humans, you know, deep down at our core, like, we care about each other. But that's really being tested, because how anyone is okay with this is terrifying to me. But yeah, if you look like me, speak up, speak out, because we might be the only ones safe from what's coming and some of the only people that are able to stop it. So yeah, it's our duty at this point.
If you look like me, and that comes to mind that the major demographic force that seems to be pushing this is the white liberal woman. The white liberal woman seems to be pushing this, and the white liberal woman, I would imagine a college indoctrinated white liberal woman. I think we have to be quite specific about this. This is the kind of mental illness which comes out of our current education system, in my opinion. And I would go back to, once again, the great Catholic philosophers and what Sean Ring was talking about. And I shared a lot of that on Friday morning show because it affected me deeply, because it just told some basic universal truths here. Nations have to prioritize their own, or our own. And the order of priority, first off, you love God. You love yourself, as long as you are properly ordered. I wanted to just kind of touch on that again. We love ourselves rightly. This is according to Augustine's Hierarchy of Love. Family and kin, natural obligation to parents, spouses, and children. That takes precedence over the other, or precedence over the other people. You love your community and your nation. A love of one's people and homeland, that's natural bonds. And then, strangers and humanity at large. That's bottom of the barrel. That is the bottom of the barrel. And Hope Walls wants to take the bottom of the barrel, strangers and humanity at large, and elevate it above God, self properly ordered, family and kin and community and nation. The good of the nation, the good of our people, that doesn't matter. What matters is the good of the stranger above all. And that is an inversion. That is almost like a cancer on the order of love. But there are many people who think like Hope Walls, the daughter of the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Remember Tim Walz, America's dad, you know, the way that was portrayed. So it shows what happens when you don't have a properly ordered culture. And Walz is part of that problem, that somehow the Maryland man, as it is reported, is to be held above the people of the United States of America. Remember, never had authorization ever to be here in the United States of America. And people who are talking about people like Garcia needing an immigration hearing, when there's probably 10 to 20 million or more of Garcias, that's the equivalent of them saying that they never have to leave. That's really the bottom line of the people like Hope Walls and others who believe that, you know, I mean, to compare Garcia to Jesus is blasphemy, as far as I'm concerned, in this particular respect. But we can talk about that if you want. But that's the thought process. That's the thought process that is coming from the left. And the left really does have this this penchant for doubling down on, well, you know, to go to the order of love, loving the wrong people, granting the loving privileges to people who do not deserve them, who are not deserving. We are everyone's deserving of universal love. Please don't misunderstand me. But they are not entitled to the universal resources and universal benefits of the citizen. You just can't do that. That's not the way these people are not supposed to be. These people are lower on the hierarchy of love. Those that have played by the rules, those that have made that work, yeah, I guess we can talk about those sort of things. But that's the mental illness that runs this country, a lot of this country. And I can't help but notice that Pope Francis, of course, that was the big national story, the big world story. You know, he died at the age of 88, 7:30 this morning, I guess, Vatican time. And I can't help but notice that Pope Francis was one of those individuals that was taking the order of love of Augustine and various other Catholic philosophers and inverting it. And pretty much admitted that, yep, I'm a communist. And yes, these are not invaders. These are people we, in other words, he was the Pope that brought in a lot of this confusion into the Catholic Church, at least, and seeping into the greater and or lesser culture. So I wish Pope Francis a fine journey in the beyond, wherever that might go. I don't know. I'm not a Catholic. I was born a Catholic. I was in the Catholic faith for a long, long time. But it is my sincere hope that the next pope understands the order of love and is actually able to take that to heart, and that we don't have this kind of confusion. In fact, I'll talk a bit about what Pope Francis was all about, and it was not something I was real happy with. We'll talk about that, you know, off and on this morning here, but we'll have that and a bunch more. 23 minutes after 6, this is the Bill Myers Show on KMED. And 99.3 KBXG.
Do you take safe drink?
And Bi-Coastal Media.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Dr. James Thorpe is with me now. He's a board-certified obstetrician, gynecologist, OBGYN, and maternal-fetal medicine physician. 44 years of obstetrical experience. Saw more than 27,000 high-risk pregnancies in about 5 years. While serving one of the largest Catholic healthcare systems, SSM Health, St. Louis, Missouri. Currently, he is the chief of maternal and prenatal care at the Wellness Company. Well, you also review major medical journals on all sorts of boards. And, doctor, we appreciate you being on the program. Good morning, sir. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on, Bill.
Now, you ended up co-authoring a book, very thought-provoking. I just got a copy of it on Friday, so I just browsed it a bit over the weekend here. And so for me, it was just kind of getting the overview, but even just the title tells you a lot. It's Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. And you co-authored this with Celia Farber, rather. And we appreciate you being on here this morning. And you're in Florida these days, but could you take us back to the dark days of when COVID came out and then the vaccines came out, and then what happened and what you were warning people at that time that ended up coming to fruition?
Sure. Well, in 2020, I'm a disabled veteran. I've never been an anti-vaxxer, right? Mm-hmm. So mea culpa. In fact, I even pushed vaccines in pregnancy up until 10 or 15 years ago. But at the turn of the century, you know, when the New England Journal medical editor came out and just exposed how corrupt the medical journals were, that was a real shocker to me. And so I began waking up, you know, with regards to a lot of their corrupt coalition with a cartel between the government. So when 2020 came around, I was treating patients with hydroxychloroquine, because with COVID, because I knew it was safe and effective. How did I know that? Well, because OBGYN doctors have used it in pregnancy I've used it for 40 years. And because women of reproductive age were actually treated with it for autoimmune disease. So when I became censored and aggressively attacked for using COVID-19 because it was unsafe, I knew that was a lie. And I knew that that was being used in order to gain the emergency use authorization. And I was convinced they were going to ultimately target women. So as 2020 came along and they started rolling out the vaccine, it was a 2021, late 2019 to 2021. That's when I saw all the obstetrical disasters after the vaccine was rolled out.
What kind of harm did the jab at that time do to unborn children and mothers?
At that time, as soon as they rolled it out, there was a massive increase in miscarriage like never seen before, ever, in the VAERS. And in fact, the Pfizer's own data and the New England Journal of Medicine data showed that if you gave it in the first half of pregnancy, there was a 82% miscarriage rate. But we saw everything else from extensive bleeding, blood clotting, fetal death, that's death after 20 weeks, miscarriages before, a spate of every pregnancy complication you could imagine, preterm labor, cervical insufficiency, rupture of membranes, preterm labor, blood clot, cardiac problems in the fetus, malformations of every organ system, severe early onset preeclampsia, necessitating delivery, and a dramatic increase in babies going to the neonatal intensive care unit after birth for a spate, a variety of different reasons, and an increase in newborn death.
If you were to do an estimate, I don't know if you've gone to this point, how many unborn children died due to the COVID vaccine in your estimation over those couple of years?
Well, it's countless. It's really countless. I have one patient that's essentially lost 8 pregnancies after a normal first pregnancy before the vaccine. Now, how could she do that? She had a couple of sets of twins. But listen, the Pfizer data was clear in that there was at least a 5-fold increase in fetal death, and there was a massive spike in miscarriage. This was the deadliest vaccine ever rolled out in history by Pfizer's own post-marketing from 10 weeks late December 2020 to February 28th, 2021 was their legally mandated post-market report of adverse events. And Bill, there were 42,086 casualties in that just 10 weeks. And of those, there were 1,223 deaths. And the pregnancy outcome was horrible. They tried to hide that for 75 years.
Oh, that was some of the information they wanted to hide. Oh, I think we understand why. I think we certainly understand why. Now, right. Was this information known at the time? Did Pfizer hide the pregnant and unborn child data from the start? Was that hidden from the very beginning?
Yes, that was from the very beginning. They colluded, denied in their own legally mandated vaccine adverse event system called VAERS. They tried to throttle that. They would delete many of the adverse outcomes, but the safety signal was so powerful that they couldn't hide it. The FDA and CDC have been responsible for maintaining that since the Childhood Vaccine Injury Act in 1986. And after the vaccine rolled out, when you see the red spikes compared to all the previous years of all the disasters, this is the deadliest vaccine that was ever rolled out. In the United States of America, I estimate, this doesn't even include all the miscarriages and pregnancy losses. There are 30 million injuries or deaths caused by the COVID-19 vaccine. Globally, it's over 600 million COVID-19 vaccine injured or killed. So this is a horrible problem, and it defies just the corruption of our government that has been algorithmically progressing over the last several years, especially the last decade.
Dr. James Thorpe, MD, is the author of Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. This is what you were speaking of, targeted the young. Now, this is where you kind of get into, I guess it would be conjecture or opinion, you know, on this one, Doctor. I have wondered, given that it seemed to the vaccine seemed to do so much to attack the very, very young, like the unborn child, and the very, very old. Is there a possibility that this was designed to be a feature and not a bug? I know that sounds really uncomfortable to even ask somebody that. Would you wonder?
I think this is a distinct possibility. Clearly this was a DOD product. This was a project, and they've been working on it since at least 2010. And that's not theory. That's proven now in multiple documents and multiple books written, including RFK, including Courageous Discourse, including Peter Bregan's book. But, you know, so the disaster here is the victims of the vaccine. And one of the things I'm really, really excited and honored about, and will unapologetically ask the listeners to buy not just one book, but buy 10 books, because every single dime of the royalties, the profits that I get from this book, the wellness company is matching. That's TWC.health. The mm-hmm. wellness company. We're a parallel healthcare system. And they are matching every dime that I put in going into what we call a vaccine injured fund. And so this money will be given to families whose members have been injured or killed by the COVID-19 vaccine. And we've already made our first grant award to the Martin family that lost their beautiful daughter, Trista Martin. She was killed by the COVID-19 vaccine.
I remember, you know, there's a part of the COVID time here, Doctor, that I can understand why many people just want to forget about it and kind of shove it under the rug, so to speak, and then let it go. And yet I'm concerned that if we don't call for the accountability of those who called for this, of the companies that ended up putting it out there, of the warning signs that were ignored. I mean, I'll give you an example of one that happened here in Northern California, Southern Oregon, in our region. There was a young girl in a small town, and it was actually reported for a while, who ended up getting the Pfizer vaccine and ended up being paralyzed, partially paralyzed for weeks and or months. And it got reported for a little bit at that time in the news, but, you know, it didn't fit the narrative of what was permitted. And I kept calling that small town in Northern California where she lived and would try to get in touch with the parents and went through the police. And it's like the parents didn't want to talk about it. Nobody wanted to talk about it. And yet this girl is obviously 17-year-old, damaged, was a big sports person, horse lover, all this kind of stuff, did all sort of stuff. And then she was just taken down into a wheelchair at that point. Now, maybe she's recovered a bit there, but something tells me that this is not unusual. What about your experience?
That's the norm. I know all the vaccine injured, many of them around the country. I know Heather Hudson and her son, Cody. Of course, I know the Martin family, Alan Martin and Taylor Martin, who lost their daughter. The White family, you know, these families were actually featured in the movie documentary Shot Dead. And you can see that at shotdead.org. I was also in that movie, featured in that movie with Dr. Peter McCullough. But, you know, to your point, the vaccine injured has been mocked. They've been gaslit. And if they speak out, they are attacked viciously from every which way to Sunday.
Even today, they're still being attacked, in your view? even today?
Oh, yeah. Not in my view. Go on the websites of these vaccine injured. They're atrocious, horrible attacks that are just unconscionable. So, yes, it was taboo to speak out, and it was purposefully done this way. This was targeted. This was the most advanced fifth-generation psychological operations globally in the history of the world.
Is it surprising to you that this is still being encouraged, that we're still hearing the ads and still hearing this, hey, go get your shots, even today?
It's shocking, but you know, Bill, what's even more shocking is that the American people, by and large, know. You know, the vaccine update, despite you being, you can't call a pharmacy or go to a pharmacy without seeing the shot, you know, get your COVID shots, get your influenza shots. And yet only way less than 10% of Americans took it. I've seen some figures that only 1% of Americans took the vaccine booster last year. That's a pathetic uptake. That means that the vast majority, 95, 98%, 99% of Americans know that it doesn't work. They know somebody that's been injured or killed, and they don't believe the government, but yet they're still silent.
Why do you think we're still silent even at this point?
I think there's a variety of reasons. Number one, remember, the physicians in the hospitals took massive amounts of money to push this. Look at it from a physician's perspective. Let's say, you know, it comes out and I push it. I buy the Kool-Aid. I push it my wife. I push it my children. I push it my extended family and friends. And then I push it in my patients. Despite that, they didn't do their due diligence. So for them to come back and admit that they made a mistake and caused all these injuries and deaths, there's a cognitive dissonance there. Now, you know, just last week, a week from today, we published a manuscript documenting the severe cognitive deficits and dementias, accelerating dementias associated with the COVID-19 vaccines, in addition to a massive increase of psychiatric illnesses, including schizophrenia and conversion reactions. There were over 86 adverse events with neurological psychiatric impairment associated with a COVID-19 vaccine with other vaccines. I think that plays a role. Remember, that doctor can never take that shot out of its body. Now we know that we suspect there are data suggesting that anybody that got just one shot has turned into a permanent bioweapon manufacturing plant within their body. The spike protein is the most potent bioweapon ever devised. It meets all of the criteria, the medical military criteria for a bioweapon. Trust me, I know, I'm a veteran. They produce it for life. These vaccine injured that got just one shot back in 2021, we're 4 years out, and they're still producing massive amounts of spike protein. So this is the disaster could be one of the greatest disasters. Certainly, you combine the two world wars and throw Vietnam in there, throw the Ukrainian war in there, throw some other massive disasters in there, including Chernobyl. It doesn't come near the carnage, death, and destruction that the COVID-19 vaccine incurred globally.
Dr. James Thorpe is calling us from Florida this morning, and he's the author of Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. What is your opinion on how we got to the point? Because the one thing I want to be fair about, though, Doctor, is that we were conditioned with a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear that came at us, you know, once that virus ended up doing its deal back 2020, 2021. And so I always tried to filter that through, hey, we knew what we didn't know what we didn't know, you know, at that point. And so we were looking at and I remember people were looking at the vaccine as this saver thing. Get the vaccine, you'll be able to get back to work and do all these other things. What made you different? What made you look beyond the fear? Because I didn't get it. I ended up resisting that, and I was concerned I was going to lose my gig there after a while. But fortunately, that Joe Biden order that he was trying to do ended up being knocked down by the courts. But when did it change you? When did you see? Because I don't know if you were, you know, for the vaccine at first because people were so afraid.
No, give me your
experience.
I stopped giving all vaccines in pregnancy and in my patients probably. But remember, I have a very small focus of specialty on only high-risk pregnant women.
Oh, okay. So that's all you work on. So high-risk women, you would naturally just say no shot, period, if at all possible, right?
Yeah, if they ask me. But I didn't recommend vaccine for anybody outside of pregnancy, any of my patients. I strongly recommended against it because I saw the governmental corruption in 2019 and 2020. Just remember event 101 at Johns Hopkins University. They told us everything that they were going to do to us. They advertised this. This was nothing more than an exercise in the globalists shutting down and controlling global citizens.
Dr. James Thorpe, MD, could you hang on for just another minute or two and maybe have another quick segment? I'm really enjoying the talk here. And it's good that we have these conversations. If you wanted to talk with Dr. Thorpe, by the way, my number is 770-5633 on the Bill Meyer Show.
At Drake's Paint
Roofing for your next metal project, visit MontanaRoofingServices.com. This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
Dr. James Thorpe, MD, author of Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. And it documents the true story of this very respected doctor of maternal fetal medicine. And doctor, ultimately, what it was is that everyone just lost their mind around you. Is that fair enough? Almost a summary of what happened at that time?
I think what happened was our government spent an unprecedented trillions and trillions of dollars on promoting a narrative. And they instilled really fascism in a very covert way by basically buying off non-governmental organizations, giving them an under-the-table grant with an agreement that they would walk lockstep with a draconian government COVID narratives. So, for example, $186 billion was distributed to over, listen to this, 420,000 hospital systems and physician groups, right? The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the American Board of OBGYN and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, all of the specialties that provide care for women and pregnant women, they all entered into these really illegal, unethical relationships where they became government actors. And they took massive amounts of money and didn't have to pay that money back only if they remained lockstep. So, you know, September 27th, 2021, those three organizations essentially threatened 60,000 OBGYN physicians in this country and in Canada and stated, if you do not push the vaccine in pregnancy and walk lockstep with our narratives, we will destroy you professionally. We will take away your state medical license and take away your board certifications. If you lose either one of those, you can't practice as a physician. So, and there was no data that they presented. It was a blanket threat. It was unprecedented. So this is the way it worked. So, you know, you weren't seeing your, you know, Dr. Smith, you know, OBGYN who a couple's going in to see them for the first time. Dr. Smith was bought off. She had to stay in the narrow confines. You were talking to a government actor in the most sensitive, arguably the most important and private and sensitive physician-patient relationship that a woman could ever have, that with her OBGYN doctor who she trusted with everything, you know, her sex life, her newborn baby growing in her body, you know, there's a special relationship there. And when that OBGYN doctor was bought off and had, it wasn't Dr. Smith, it was the government. And that's the way they accomplish their dirty work, which is really fascism. This is illegal. It was unethical. It was a conspiracy because it involved not only the hospitals, but it involved the private medical board organizations, the journals, the mainstream media, the athletic teams, the national religious leaders of all different persuasions. Same thing. Every single thread of the fabric of our society was entered into relationships where they received large amounts of money to push a false narrative.
And by the way, Doctor, in your opinion, you know, I wonder if we were kind of, if both political, even both political parties, Republican and Democrat in one way, ended up kind of getting into the narrative itself in one form or another. Now, I know that during the Trump administration, there was Operation Warp Speed. You know, we need to develop this right away because we shut everything down. And so this comes out. And so there is a push to get that into it. You had the Democrats at that time saying, oh, I'm not going to, you know, take this vaccine because it's, you know, in the Trump administration. And then Joe Biden comes in and it's like that narrative flips and then you better take it or else. And it's almost as if both political parties have had their credibility damaged in this, wouldn't you say, ultimately?
You're 100% correct. And when we look at the public records, we see that the vast majority of congressmen and politicians were given money, massive amounts of money from Pfizer and from Moderna and other pharmaceutical companies. So there's a huge conflict of interest here, just a massive conflict of interest. There were forces in the hospital, in the White House, one of them, a dear friend, Dr. Stephen Hatfield, who's written a book on this, and he was recruited into the administration in the first year of the pandemic to act as an expert under Peter Navarro. And there was a strong movement to get to Trump and to speak to him about the truth, for example, of the truth of hydroxychloroquine and how effective mm-hmm. it was and how safe it was. And in fact, Trump himself took that and he was made well from a significant case of COVID.
I know here in Southern Oregon, we had what I now term the Ivermectin Underground Railroad, too. I would have you.
Yes.
There was a lot of that because you weren't going to get it from your doctor or the hospital. We know that. You weren't.
That's right. Peter Navarro and Dr. Hatfield and that contingent in the White House, they stockpiled 63 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. But Fauci and the other contingents in the pharmaceutical suppressed that and literally captured the entire industry. Had they released that to the American people, the pandemic would have been over by July or August of 2020.
Yeah. I appreciate your take on this. Dr. James Thorpe, MD. We have a number of listeners want to ask you a question or comment on this. Patrick, good to have you on with Dr. James Thorpe, MD. Go ahead.
Hey, it sounds like the what you were referring to where the doctors were being threatened with having their licenses pulled. That's the crime of coercion. But what I really dialed up to talk about was that I heard within about a year after the this so-called vaccine was starting to be administered that about a year, there were 10 new billionaires working at Pfizer.
That's correct. And there were a massive number of new entrepreneurs all over the country in different sectors.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Interesting point you brought up there. Let me go to, I think this is Tom. Tom, you're on with Dr. James Thorpe, MD.
Thank you. You mentioned passing the spike protein, and I have heard stories of people saying they encountered someone that they thought was passing out the spike protein. Do you know, doctor, if also the genetic material can be passed on from people who have been vaccinated to the non-vaccinated?
That's such an important question. We spend a lot of time on that in the book. Yes, it would appear right now that there is definitely a proven potential. For example, a study in 2021 documented that the RNA, mRNA of the vaccine can be reverse transcribed into a human DNA. And that's proven. Now, that was in the lab. That was what we call in vitro. But now, you know, there's many other studies. You give it in pregnancy. It passes through the placenta. It sets up a biologically active production of the spike protein in the placenta, in the uterus, in the fetus, likely causing all the problems I talked about before. But and I have victims now that are 4 years out and still producing. That's 4 years. That's over 1,500 days. And they're from one shot, they're still producing massive amounts of spike antibody.
I thought the spike antibody was supposed to stop after a month or two. Wasn't that what we were told?
Well, the spike antibody, but they're still producing the spike protein.
Oh, okay.
And that's the lethal bioweapon.
All right. Tom, thank you for it's an important question. Great question. And we'll take one more call here before we have to cut Dr. James Thorpe loose, but I can probably talk with him all morning. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Ron, Grants Pass. I want to have two questions. First, how is the spike protein transmitted to persons outside of the infected person? And secondly, what is the protocol for people who don't have the spike protein, who didn't take the shot, like ivermectin?
Can you protect yourself from that now? Okay, thank you. A couple of good questions. Could you take a stab at that, doctor?
Yeah, very important. The issue of shedding is real. We don't know exactly what is being shed. The Advanced Biological Research Group, ABRG.group, is working on that. But remember, there's no funding from the traditional sources of research, which is the government and the pharmaceutical companies. So something is being shed with this virus. We don't know whether it's the mRNA or the spike protein or the nanoparticles, but definitely something is being shed. In terms of therapeutic options, I would go to the wellness company, TWC.health, and you will find what I think is probably the most rigorously studied protocol to degrade the spike protein. Remember, even if you don't have the vaccine, haven't had the vaccine, you're still susceptible for spike protein, potentially from shedding of the mRNA or shedding of the lipid nanoparticles. So, you know, an antibody titer is right now, you can order an antibody titer to determine how high your spike protein level is. And if the levels are high, whether you've been vaccinated or not, I would use the extended spike supplement, at the wellness company as directed, because I think there's some good data which we cite there on that website to degrade the bioweapon, the spike protein.
Dr. James Thorpe, MD, something still to be looking at even here 5 years later. Sacrifice is the book. Sacrifice, how the deadliest vaccine in history targeted the most vulnerable. A lot of information to absorb there. I just started on it over the weekend. And like I said, you have grabbed me with this one, doctor. I'm hoping that we can have you back at another time and get you on, but I thought it was important. How long has this been out? Did it just come out or something which has been out for a little bit?
February 18th.
Okay, yeah, this is relatively new.
February 18th.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it available at all the usual suspects?
It is. It's at Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. Also, I have an X link. My handle is at JATHORPMFM, and my website is drjathorp.com.
Doctor, a pleasure. Final question I have for you is the worst of this protocol and this mess, is it past us now, or are we still in it right now in our current medical system, in our current protocol world, in our current medical insurance industrial complex? Are we still held hostage by this?
We're still in it, and I believe that because of the nature of the spike protein and how it can affect every single cell in the body, we're still looking at an acceleration now of all types of chronic diseases causing injury and premature death, whether it's from cardiac, whether it's from the brain, whether it's from the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the blood clots, the neurological injury. I think we're seeing an acceleration of these chronic diseases as a result of just a even if you only got one or two vaccines in 2021.
Doctor, I appreciate you being on. It's a sobering, thought-provoking, and a must-read. Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. We'll have you back, and I'll get all your information up on my show blog today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.